Today I feel very privileged to be in this holy place with each of you. It's not what I had originally planned to be doing this summer, being semi-retired. But George called me in January, told me his plan, said he was looking for someone to help cover while he was away. Was I interested? I said yes. Who wouldn't want to be here? And that's pretty much that. I've known George and Carr for a long time. Javier is, for those of us who are some senior clergy, he doesn't maybe know this, we call them the Young Turks. And he's one of the best Young Turks. So I thought that would be good, and I've known about the ministries at St. Paul's for a long time, so what else did I need to know? So here I am. However, last Sunday, when George told me that there would be 7 baptisms at the 11:15 service, I said, wow, what a glorious way to welcome a new priest. What a glorious message that 7 families have made the decision for their most beloved young children to be baptized here at St. Paul's. Families and children that will grow together in their knowledge and love of Christ in this environment that we and you create. So I just say, well done, people of St. Paul's. The timing couldn't have been better for combining baptism and learning and growing in today's gospel message. For children are so eager to learn and to grow. It's always fascinating, I think, to hear their remarks and questions that little children have about God and about Jesus. I lived in San Francisco for a while, and the Sunday schools were full of children representing the many different cultures and languages that that melting pot city has. And I remember one time the children were in their Sunday school with their teacher, and they were all talking about Jesus, and they said, well, what language did Jesus speak? Did he speak Spanish or English? Did he speak Korean, Japanese, Chinese, Vietnamese? What did he speak? For many, the language in their homes, their first language, was not English. Their parents or grandparents were principally Chinese or Spanish or many of the other cultures that enrich our nation. Their teachers, for the most part, of course, spoke English. And the children were good in at least 2 languages. They could only imagine that Jesus must have spoken one of the ones that they were familiar with. That living some 2,000 years ago in a faraway place, that Jesus might have spoken some other language had never occurred to them. They found it incredible, literally, when the teacher told them that Jesus didn't speak any of their languages, that he spoke Aramaic. What's Aramaic? Perhaps some Hebrew. At least while he was living on earth, she said. Then how does he understand our prayers? How does he know what we're singing? How does we know what we're saying? Their concern was very real and very, very vocal. While they didn't totally understand the why, they did accept the explanation that Jesus understood all languages and that he heard people all over the world praying and talking to him, and he understood every single word. The children were thrilled, actually, to believe that all Christians everywhere, including relatives that they knew about that lived far away and they had never seen, as well as all of the other children in the world, were heard by Jesus. I would believe this knowledge gives us great comfort as well, that Jesus hears us. Every Sunday we pray for the concerns of the people, the church, and the world, and we beseech God, we say, Lord, hear our prayer. Relieve us, help us, strengthen us, empower us. Prayerfully, each of us has our own personal way of communicating with God. I believe God has no trouble hearing our prayers, individual and corporate. I believe God waits for them, listens to them, yearns for them. Experience tells me that we're the ones that have trouble sometimes hearing when it comes to communication with God. We hear today of Jesus being the good shepherd and of the sheep who knew his voice. And Jesus is comparing two sets of people, those who belong to his flock and those who don't. You do not believe, Jesus says to those who are questioning him, because you do not belong to my sheep. Because those who belong hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they will not perish. Well, obviously, we know which flock we want to belong to. We want to belong to the flock. We want to be a sheep. Did you ever think you'd want to be a sheep? And while we may not want to go through the shearing process, there seems to be some sheeply traits that we all have, let's just say, in differing levels of abundance, depending on the day and the circumstances, whatever. Thus, today's gospel message applies to all of us in abundance. Those sheeply traits that Jesus says are important are actually summed up in our collect for today. Grant that when we hear his voice, we may know him who calls each of us by name and follow where he leads. Seems simple, doesn't it? Hear, know, follow. But at times, it's just not easy. To hear means to give ear, to obey. It's what lies at the heart of our faith. It's what lies at the heart of all who have been faithful throughout Scripture and throughout time. Hearing God means to be present, to put oneself in a place where listening is possible, to be in a mind or an attitude of openness and receptivity. To hear both with our hearts and our minds. What resonates when we listen? What resonates? What are we hearing? What makes sense for us, for each of us? What makes sense with us, with our situations, our unique gifts, our talents, and our challenges? What makes sense for us? What do we hear? And then be willing to act on what we've heard. Prayerfully, you've all experienced that, or at least witnessed someone who you say, I guess what they do is listen. How do they get their sense of direction? Do we need to be in church to hear? Absolutely not. But the voice should be loud here. Loudest here. Our presence, our attention to the work of God should be heard here, witnessed here, done here. And God speaks to us in so many ways, through Scripture, through nature, through children themselves. Don't you see a child just doing something of glee? I mean, I watch when they parade down here and go back up the aisle and they're waving and they're smiling. I'm going to hear more about God, or I'm going to go play with my friends, or whatever they're smiling about. Maybe it's just because they're on display. I don't know. But they're having a good time and they're in church. We simply need to make the space that allows for the listening. And then obey the voice and move towards God and each other. Knowing God. That's not what we learn from books, but it describes more what we experience or how we encounter God. It's an intimacy. It's an availability. like the ones we have for our dearest loved ones. Today's Mother's Day, so many of you will be experiencing a closeness that you yearn for and you appreciate. Sometimes we can know what the other is going to say before they open their mouths. Take that type of knowing, multiply it 1,000-fold, and that's the way we are to know Jesus, to know God, because that's how Jesus, God, knows us. The difference, I believe, between the relationships we can have with other human beings and the ones that we can have with God is that one is always available, and that's God. And I believe God's efforts are greater than those of humanity. For human feelings and relationships have highs and lows and highs and lows, but not so with God. Not so with God. God is always there, always available. And to follow. Go behind, go after, do. Become attached to Jesus. Bind oneself to Jesus and to the understanding of God as Jesus lived God's being into existence. We follow because we have listened and we know what's important to become part of God's flock, each using our unique God-given talents as we reflect the love of God to God's world. There's not a more important message that we need to see, to hear, to witness, or to experience. It's a way of living that sets us apart from the rest of the world and that urges the rest of the world to come and join us, be with us. I think Michael Curry came to the Diocese of North Carolina, like 2001, 2002, somewhere around in there. And at the first meeting he had with clergy, the book we were to read was called The Celtic Way of Evangelism. The Roman Church, in about 400, sent a group of emissaries to the British Isles to try and help convert and influence the Celts. And they were told they weren't to try and change the people, as so many missionaries do, to try and change them into the ways that the emissaries lived or had lived. They were there to simply go and live among them and show them what it meant to be a Christian. And so they did. They lived with them, they ate with them, they worked with them, they shared with them. And all went very well because the Celts started seeing things in the ways that the missionaries, the emissaries, lived. They cared more about one another. They shared more. They helped the other. They weren't defensive about what was going on. They were trying to always build up the other, to build up their relationships and to make everyone feel important. Everything that had meaning became shared. They shared life. They worked together. They were simply different in their approach. And the Celt said, I want to be like that. I want to be like that. Well, that's what we're about. I mean, we cherish our Celtic history. The Alleluia we're singing is one of the Celtic Alleluias. I mean, it's not just that, but I mean, we cherish a lot of the spiritual components that came out of that Celtic tradition. Well, that's what we should be about all the time. That's what you're about now. Today, I want you to think about these 7 children and their families and their godparents, and what this parish means for them. What you do matters for them. They'll grow here. How will they grow? They'll grow as you lead them to grow. I'm going to read their names. I want you to pick one out that for some reason seems to resonate with you. And in the coming week, in the coming days, or in the coming months and years, I want you maybe to remember the name, but what I want you to remember is what your role is for these families and for yourself as you grow in the love of God. Harper, Lorelei, Ella, Sophia, Arif, Claire, and Anne. How we affect, how we model God's love will affect each of them for the rest of their lives. It's our choice. It's always our choice. For we have been blessed with the privilege, the magnificent, outrageous privilege of being a follower of Christ. Amen.